All right, welcome back. I'm Simi Sarah. Marriage, gay marriage, abortion, issues that in Canada we don't always want to debate out in the open. I mean, just look at how the Prime Minister reacted when they came up in the House of Commons. But the new executive director of the Institute of Marriage and Family has no problem talking about any of these things. And Andrea Rozek joins us now to talk more about that. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me on.
Now, do you think Canadians do want to talk about those issues?
Well, we are a research group, and when I say I want to talk about marriage and strengthening marriage, yes, absolutely, I think Canadians do want to talk about that. Marriage is an important institution in our society, and when it breaks down, we have to find ways to overcome that and step in and try to help. So I think that it is worthwhile doing Canadian research on that topic and looking at how we can strengthen that institution as an underpinning of our culture and our country.
Do you think it is broken down?
Well, the stats seem to say that. We have a declining marriage rate. We see more and more people choosing to live together rather than getting married. And we have a relatively high divorce rate. It's not as high as people think, i.e. not that 50% number. But I actually got it wrong in the Globe and Mail story. The divorce rate, when you look at a 30-year projection, is around 40%. I had said 30% initially. So that's a relatively high divorce rate. So those are some of the things that would indicate to us that a marriage culture is in decline. Indeed, it has been for decades.
Right, and yet we think that, right? I remember hearing this argument, you know, decades ago when people were going to start living together. Oh, it's the end of marriage. But there doesn't seem to be any shortage of people who still want to get married.
Yeah, interest in marriage is very high. Again, we're sort of banking on that notion that very few people get married with the idea of planning for their divorce. And so when we talk about marriage, we know that there still is a permanency associated with that, that people who desire marriage and they choose to get married and they're desiring it to last a lifetime, that they're not achieving that. So questions should be raised around why that is and how we can strengthen that so that people don't have to go through some of the personal trauma that is associated with divorce.
Okay, so then how do we do that? I mean, do you think it's going to help by you and your new position just talking about this publicly?
Well, we are an education, a research group. We're going to be doing and undertaking research on marriage. There's a consensus south of the border, for example, left or right, religious or not religious, that marriage does contribute to a decrease in the poverty rate, for example, that family breakdown does result in increased poverty. So I want to see what the results of such work here, what they would show. We just don't know. There's a lot that we don't know about the institution of marriage, and absolutely, I think that when we educate people and when we talk about the logical or reasonable outcomes of certain life choices, then people are just better informed because information is power, as they say.
All right. So then tell me about your new job then. Is this what will we be hearing more from you on these issues?
Well, I hope so. Like I just said, we'll be doing the marriage type research and we'll continue on the education beat as we have in the past. That's also an issue that's very important to families. We'll continue to talk about the bullying issue in schools, for example, and the manner in which to decrease or help to decrease bullying, that sort of thing. So the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada is a relatively new think tank in Canada, but we have been doing this work for, you know, six, seven, 8 years now. And with me as executive director, I mean, I hope that we'll be doing more of some of the same good work and continuing on that, but also doing new things as well.
Now, when you say marriage, do you support marriage of all kinds then, gay marriage as well?
Yeah, in the Globe and Mail article, I was asked about that, and we don't have a statement on it. Once again, in Canada, there is no research on that topic. We'd be cautious around going forward. We want to examine outcomes of children in various family forms, and I think it is reasonable to examine what the outcomes will be as a research think tank. So I'd like to see more research devoted to marriage in general, marriage of all kinds. Of course, it's legal in Canada. We want to be cautious about moving forward with major societal changes like this with regards to their effect on children. If it's only about adults, then that's a different story altogether.
Well, when you say that research hasn't been done on this, I mean, what kind of research are you looking for, the benefits of it or the impact of it? I don't understand.
Well, what we do know about marriage and with regards to children is that when children are raised by their own biological parents, they do better than in other family forms. And that is something, you know, I can say that, and it, you know, people are living out their lives, and they will be well aware that when they divorce or families break down, that there's an impact on the kids. If they aren't aware, then they should be, and I hope through research and through information education we can achieve that. I think the concern, the benefits come from the stability, but we want to ask the question also whether mothers and fathers bring unique things to the family and to children in specific, and whether it is the same or not the same if you're in a same-sex marriage. And I think that that's a reasonable question to ask because it is a major change.
You mentioned biological parents, though. I mean, what about adoptive parents?
Yeah, exactly. We see different outcomes for adoptive parents. That's why it's reasonable. Yeah, we do.
In what way?
That's why it's reasonable to ask about the outcomes, I think, for kids in raised by gay parents, understanding that we know that the stability that comes with a loving gay parents is going to be good, but that also we want to be examining what those outcomes might be. If adoptive kids show certain different outcomes, then is it possible that that would exist in other family forms as well?
But, I mean, what about the idea, though, that a child can be raised by biological parents? That doesn't make them a fully functional family. Just because their parents are married doesn't make them a functional family, and doesn't mean that child's going to grow up happy and well-adjusted.
Yeah, of course, that's true. And you know what? I mean, when we talk about research, that's what we have to be careful about and be very grateful for any exceptions to the rules. And if there's stats showing something in particular, for example, the stats very clearly show that that married women have better health outcomes over the long term than single women. Well, I'm a single woman, but I'm perfectly healthy, I can assure you. So, you know, when we look at stats, we're looking at the aggregate. I'm always grateful that there's exceptions to those rules.
Right. I mean, research can only go so far. I mean, I just read this week about research that showed that newlywed married couples are overweight because they're so happy, too. So, I mean, the research can pretty much tell us anything, can it?
Well, and that's why we're hopefully putting forward solid research, longitudinal research, not just flippant studies that catch the headlines of the day. You know, there's always obviously risks in doing that, but I definitely want to be associated with quality research and examining important issues for families as well.
So how do you propose to undertake that good quality research? How do you do that? And it sounds like it would be long term too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, some of the sorts of research that you'd want to see could not be done by our think tank.
Mm-hmm.
You would need to recruit sort of major government type of funding and resources and employ that over the long haul. So we are a small group and we'll do what we can. You know, there might be room for others to jump on board and examine these things as well.
So it sounds like you've got a lot of challenges ahead there, Andrea. I mean, do you hope to bring this more into sort of wider discussion in the Canadian spectrum?
Yeah, and absolutely, and we think that discussion is always a good thing, that people of goodwill can have differing opinions, and that through good quality research we can have good discussions around that. I know we've already done some studies that have been thought-provoking, and I would love to do more of the same.
And so how do you decide to do that? So do you, as you were saying, you have to obviously need some help in some regards. Will you undertake some of it yourself? How does that work?
Well, any research group, any think tank has their employees, and we can, employ data sets. The National Longitudinal Study on Children and Youth can look at the General Social Survey. Statistics Canada has a wealth of information collected. I don't know if Canadians are aware thus far that one of the things Stats Can stopped deciding to collect on a national level was divorce statistics and marriage statistics. It'll still be collected provincially, but it won't be in the Stats Can database, so to speak, centralized. So that's a real loss. It's something that we're concerned about, and we would have liked to see that decision reversed, and we'll see if we can voice that concern. You know, I think that the only reason why Stats Can would have dropped that is from a lack of appreciation, I think, of how important marriages and families are for stability in our society, and that's a shame. So those are, you know, those are sorts of things that we will continue to draw attention to.
Interesting. Well, Andrea, thank you very much for your time today.
You're most welcome.
That is Andrea Rozek, the Executive Director at the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada.